Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, this story is from Emily Heise.
I was born and raised in Chicago. I spent my whole childhood up there. When I was only 2 years old, a girl moved in across the street with her family, and she was my age. We were literally like a month apart in age. And we became fast friends. Literally everything I did was with her. Every milestone I went through, our first crush, our first kiss, literally anything you can think of, we went through together. She was always there for me, and I was always there for her. From here, our life and friendship got a little more difficult. Her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, but her parents chose not to tell her. But my parents told me because they wanted me to understand the situation, because I became getting jealous of all the vacations they were taking and all these things. Knowing what I knew and she didn't know, I became super, super supportive of her. I was always with her just because I knew that she didn't know she was going to be about to go through a really hard time in her life. Her parents had told her that her mom was sick, but they didn't tell her exactly what was happening and the fact that it was not curable. She went through chemo and everything, but her survival chances were basically zero. It'd have to be a miracle, and I knew that. Her parents eventually told her how serious it was right before her mom's passing. After she passed, it was a really dark period for her, and I was there for her the best I could. And that situation, as awful as it was, really brought us together. I feel like she had never been more of my sister than she was then. After that summer, we went into eighth grade, and that's kind of when I found myself as the athlete that I am today, and she more wanted to be more on the artsy side. She had tried sports, but she never made the volleyball team, which is what I played, and our paths started to split. I got really into my volleyball, and she was on the student council and all this other stuff that just made our schedules to where we couldn't really hang out with each other whatsoever. Going into high school, we got a little closer, just knowing that it was a big part of our lives and we'd been each other's basically sisters since as long as we can remember. So that kind of brought us back together, but again, our schedules pulled us apart and we just kind of never stopped growing apart. I made new friends in my athletic department, and she made new friends with her student council, and she was in a sewing class and all this stuff, and we just made more friends that were more relatable to us because we had changed so much since when we were little. We barely spoke, but it wasn't because we had a fight or anything. We just didn't have many things in common anymore. And then I can remember one day, this was sophomore year, the summer going into it, she called me and told me that her dad got a new job finally, and it was moving her to Michigan. And of course, I cried, and even though we weren't as close anymore, she still was kind of like, it's like a family ship bond. Like, you don't see your grandparents every day, but like at the end of the day, they're family, and you love them. Because it was for work, she didn't have much of a heads up. Her dad's company paid for her house to be sold. They bought it and then sold it for them and paid for her to have a new house. So within a month, I had lost my basically sister. She was my childhood best friend. She was always there no matter how much we'd grown apart. Whenever I had something hard going on in my life, I always called her. Knowing that she was moving, we made an agreement to always talk to each other and send each other little letters and stuff. We had made a kind of like an indestructible envelope that you could reuse, and we just mailed it between each other because we thought it was cute to mail each other letters and stuff and birthday presents. But that only lasted roughly a year, and from then we were going into our junior year of high school, and we had basically grown so far apart we lost all contact with each other. From there, our lives really separated. I chose to go here to FAU, and she chose to go to Eastern Michigan. Upon my arrival down here in Boca Raton, I don't think I had any contact with her. We liked each other's pictures on Instagram, but that was about it. I went my whole freshman year of college talking to her maybe once at Christmas, just sending her a nice message or something here and there, but other than that, we didn't have any contact. Until my sophomore year, when I was actually at a Walmart down in Deerfield Beach. And I was actually buying air freshener instead of what I actually needed. And I went to check out, and she turned around, and little did I know, it was my friend. She was working at the Walmart just down the street in Deerfield. She had moved down there about a month before, and started taking online classes because her dad actually got another job down in Florida and moved the whole family. She didn't realize how close she was and never thought to hit me up. When I first saw her, I was in such disbelief that I kind of was thinking that I was dreaming. I literally just looked at her and I was just like, there's no way that that's my friend. After about 30 seconds, when my shock subsided, I just ran up to her and we gave each other like the biggest, longest hug. It was something out of a movie. That hug is something I'll remember for the rest of my life. We hang out all the time now. It's kind of like just like old times.
Emily Hies with a story about renewing an old friendship.
And such a familiar story. There are officially only 36 plots in the world, so we hear variations on those same plots again and again. This is one of those plots I never get tired of, no matter the variation. What a wonderful reunion.
What is the plot?
Of losing somebody and finding them again. Mm-hmm.
They never really lost each other. In fact, I was surprised when Emily saw her friend in Florida and not even knowing that she moved here.
That's how they lost each other. They didn't have a fight. They just lost touch. And this happens so much in our crazy world.
You can lose touch with someone who just lives on the other side of town.
But you wouldn't be as shocked to see that person in an auto parts store if you thought that person was going to another school in a totally different place.
At the beginning of the story, Emily said something that made me uncomfortable, and I wouldn't want to know something personal about a friend's parents that she didn't know. That put her in a very bad situation.
Yeah, that was disturbing to me as well. And I think it really speaks to what it's like being a child. You really don't have control over the flow of information, much less matters of life and death, like what's going to happen to your mom. And I think it was a bit manipulative of her parents, to put it mildly, but they had all best intentions. They really didn't want Emily to hurt, feeling left out or feeling jealous. And so they thought they were doing the best thing.
Well, it's really touching that they did have such a close friendship as children and then reunite in college. Would you call that a coincidence?
I would say in this case it is a coincidence, certainly. On the other hand, she foreshadows it in a beautiful way. Early on in the story, she says, she was always there for me, I was always there for her. A beautiful parallelism of language also. And then later on, she says, I was there for her when she lost her mother. So they have been there for each other in an abstract sense, right? In a figurative turn of phrase sense, meaning I will help you, I will support you. But in this case, they were literally there with each other. And it's a funny way of, I'm sure that this is an unconscious turn of phrase in Emily's case. But if you were writing a story and carefully choosing every word, you couldn't do better, because they were there for each other and they were literally there for each other at the end of the story.
Emily does a good job of describing how the friendship went separate ways, the different interests in high school. So it's really nice they can look beyond that now that they're in college.
And that is such an important thing for people to remember. I remember exactly when this happened with my best friend from high school. And we were in college and realized that we were very different. And yet we could love each other, but we were very, very different. And you think when you're younger, you have to share everything. And when you get older, you realize that you don't necessarily have to. You can still be friends. I think this is symbolized by a wonderful image that Emily uses. It appears that they only used it for about a year. And she doesn't describe this indestructible envelope too well. But I love that image of something indestructible like their friendship. And what does an indestructible envelope mean? It just means that you don't have to crunch it up and throw it out. You can use the same thing. So it's not obviously a regular envelope paper. It's something else. It symbolizes their relationship.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand there's a storytelling slam next week.
Yes, Sunday, February 10th, 5 to 7 p.m. This is our $100 grand prize 2621 North Federal Highway in Boca Raton, the Robot Brewing Company. And several of the stories I've played on the air originally were told there.
Karen, if our listeners would like to share a story, how can they get in touch with you?
Or if they want to know anything else about storytelling going on in South Florida, my email is cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
There is also information at our website at wlrn.org, click radio, and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.